Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We've been following a series of troubling headlines in recent weeks at General Electric. This month, a whistleblower warned that GE is covering up losses that amount to 40% of the company's value. Thomas Edison founded GE more than a century ago. It was once a titan of American business, responsible for the best-selling jet engine in history and countless other products that have changed daily life in this country. But GE never fully recovered from the financial crisis a decade ago when other companies flourished. The federal government is investigating its accounting practices. And now, the future is in question. Thomas Grida is a reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's been covering GE over the years. And Thomas, let's start with the problems at GE today. How serious are these allegations from the whistleblower, Harry Markopoulos, the same man who warned about Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme?
How serious are the allegations from him? They're very serious. He's alleging a wide-ranging accounting fraud related to an old insurance business of the company, as well as some other accounting issues. Now, it's controversial. Harry Markopoulos, he's has a financial interest. So he's been shorting this. He's essentially betting the stock will go down, and he releases this report. The company has pushed back hard on this. A lot of these issues were already known, and the government is actually investigating some of these, including the Justice Department.
And it's a remarkable evolution for a company that was behind the first incandescent light bulb, the first American jet engine that was commissioned at the start of World War II. And I want to play this video from 1952. It's a GE-produced video about that engine.
At last, the first U.S.-built engine rolled under heavy guard into the test cell right on schedule. Now the men who built it would see the results of 6 months of around-the-clock effort. They would see the birth of the jet engine in America. The first really radical change in our air power since the Wright brothers' flight.
Okay, so that is a hugely important product for this company. But remind us what else GE built over the years.
Sure. I think that's a great example of a product that they sort of took and made better, right, which Edison was great at doing, including with the light bulb. They invented the CT scanner, the MRI, Lexan, right? Materials, plastics. They patented the electric fan, the toaster. There's, some of these are disputed, but their fingerprints are all over modern society, right? Like, think back to electrification of the country itself and sort of filling houses with all sorts of things to actually connect to this new electric power in people's houses.
I'm thinking like dishwashers and dryers and electric mixers. Really, yep. They change the course of the American household. I think that's safe to say. Here's another video, a commercial from 1952 with a husband and wife showing off their new GE refrigerator.
And honestly, you don't know what you've been missing until you get this wonderful GE combination. We didn't have this separate freezer section with a separate door and a freezing system all its own. Do you know that this holds 70 pounds of frozen foods at zero cold?
Boy, times have changed, haven't they? 70 pounds of food at zero cold. That's great. But why was GE such a powerhouse when it came to manufacturing and innovating these products?
Well, I mean, it came from a legacy of, as you mentioned, Thomas Edison. His companies were the basis of much of what GE was, along with a number of other companies. It was this huge electrical industry, right? This is a gigantic company, really capital intensive. They had to be large. They needed money to do the things that they had to do, building power plants and such. The growth of GE sort of tracked with the growth of America in the 20th century.
Fast forward to the 1980s, and a man named Jack Welch becomes the CEO. He gets a reputation, has a reputation for being one of the most cutthroat and innovative managers in all of corporate American history. Tell us about him and how he changed the course of GE.
Yeah, Jack Welch came in with a different sort of style. I mean, I think he is a household name. He famously did this rank and yank system where the bottom 10% of employees would be fired. And part of that was because of all the acquisitions they were doing. They needed a way to sort of integrate companies. But also, you know, GE, a lot of people wanted to work at GE. And he embraced that and wanted to make sure, like, his rules were either number one or two in an industry or we're not in it. And he was sort of, you know, some saw him as sort of ruthless. Others saw him as brilliant, you know, sort of changing how management was approached. And, you know, the stock price of GE just exploded. And he sort of rode the wave, right, of the economy at that time. But he made a mark. I mean, GE became the world's largest company under him, which is a remarkable feat.
Well, and he got the company into a lot of different businesses, right? I mean, this is when GE gets into financial services and when it gets into media. The company, you know, GE owns NBC. But could you also argue that what Jack Welch did was sort of the beginning of the company's decline? Because, you know, later during the financial crisis, it was the exposure at GE Capital that almost crippled the company.
I guess you could argue that. I think it's probably a lot more complicated. Yes, the growth in financial services was massive. The company actually started in financial services in its early years to help people buy appliances. And, you know, same with media. It was one of the original parts of RCA. But under Welch, it came back and it bought RCA. It owned NBC. The idea of a industrial company buying this giant media company today seems really odd. But this was, you know, this idea of the conglomerate that GE knew what it was doing. It knew how to manage companies better than anyone else. And the growth of financial services was steep under him, especially in the end years. And then it continued under Jeff Immelt right into the financial crisis, which, as you mentioned, was disastrous for the company.
When Welch left the company in 2001, he got a $417 million severance package. I just thought I'd point that out. And then, as you say, Jeff Immelt takes over. Here he is in 2015 talking to the consulting firm McKinsey & Company, saying that GE was narrowing its focus because of some larger economic forces like slow growth and volatility.
It's led us to exit media, shrink financial services, and I think we're a narrower company. We're still huge, but we're a narrower company. We're a deeper company.
2 years later, GE's stock collapses. Its once sacred dividend to shareholders is cut. Immelt steps down. What's your take on why? Is this a problem of leadership at GE over the last couple of years, or is it something more fundamental to the business?
It's going to be all of those things. I think it's part of it is the culture, the almost this exceptionalism. This GE couldn't fail, you know. And under Jeff Immelt, he really saw the baggage and the weight that was hanging on them from financial services. After the crisis, it was difficult for investors to look at GE as an industrial company. Investors value financial services companies differently than they value industrial companies. And part of Jeff's moves and that he was talking about in that clip there is becoming more focused on industrial operations, you know, and there was a lot of applause for that plan. I think the idea of them getting out of financial services was widely seen as a good move. Ultimately, the plan didn't work. The industrial operations did not replace the loss of financial services.
Well, so now what? Where is this company heading? There's been talk of a breakup. The idea of a bankruptcy is not too far-fetched. What do you think will become of GE?
I don't think GE is going to go away. I think GE will be a different company, right? Since Jeff Immelt left, it has gone through these tremendous earthquakes. You know, people learning about the issues inside. You know, John Flannery came in after Jeff Immelt, and after 14 months, he was gone. It wasn't going the way the board wanted it to go. They brought in Larry Culp. He's been very clear, just like Flannery, that it's going to take years to turn the company around. He's also really on course to break up the company. You know, we see the healthcare business is sort of coming apart. You probably will see GE being a power company in the sense that, you know, making the equipment in power plants, these large turbines and such, and jet engines, you know, aviation. And in the end, it may only just be one of those. It may be a much smaller operation. It would still, I think, still be General Electric. I don't think that brand is going to go away. But we've seen this again and again with these large conglomerates. Siemens, The German company, which is similar in structure to GE in some ways, is essentially breaking itself up in recent years.
Thomas Grida, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Thomas, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.